season. I know that you weren't here, but did you hear it?
I did. Okay.
So just grew up in a traditional denominational church, and definitely always knew that there was more, but was constantly in a state of longing to understand how to access it. And so it was probably, I would say, 10 years ago now, the Lord really started a process within my heart of taking me from a place of knowing that there was more to teaching me systematically how to actually access that. And I felt like yesterday as I was driving that the Lord just said, you know, so much of what y'all have done in this group, so much of what Sis has imparted from her own life is just, you know, giving that revelation that there is more in God. There's always more that we can access. There's more than what we've been taught in church. There's more than what we've encountered. There's more than what we've seen. There's more than what we know. I remember one time Sis and I were texting, and, you know, I just said to her, you know, for all that's known, there's infinitely more that's unknown. And so it's a constant journey of a lifetime that we will be getting to know more and more and more. It says, now we see as a pale reflection in a mirror, then we'll see face to face. So for the entire time that we're here on this earth, we will constantly be getting to know more of who he is. And I believe even when we're with him face to face, we will continue to know more of who he is. And so I went through this process of longing in my heart to understand how do I tangibly access more of the presence of God? What does that look like? And so God just took me on this journey. There was a stirring, there was a desire in my heart, and he started to show me individuals that carried what I felt like I was looking for, individuals that I felt like I could see, okay, that person has cultivated something with God that I have yet to experience, that I have yet to encounter. And so one of the first parts of that process was me partnering with what I was able to see on an individual's life and go, I want to posture myself intentionally to receive from that. And so that looked like, sometimes it looked like going to that individual and saying to them, hey, I acknowledge and I see what's on your life. I actually did that with Lily this morning. Lily has an incredible anointing in business, and that's something that I'm stepping into. I see that on her life. And so I wanted to have her pray over me this morning because I want to posture myself to receive from what she has cultivated in her career. Because by honoring and acknowledging what she has walked through, it opens up an ability for me to access it in my life. All to the glory of God. It's not a selfish thing, but it's the way that God has set this thing up, that we would be blessed through other people's. We're always blessed so that we can bless others. We have favor on our lives so that we can pass that along to other people. So just started this process of seeing. Hey, how are you? Good to see you. No, you're fine. It started this process within me of setting myself up to really move into more of the things of God. And so the chapter that just kept coming to mind yesterday as I was driving, and it's familiar to all of us, but I'm going to read it, is John 15, and it's just talking about remaining in the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. And that's just a declaration straight from the mouth of Jesus about what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to remain connected. And I felt like I just had gotten to this place where, for me, it was I was saved when I had my first encounter with God when I was 4 years old that I can remember. I was saved at 9, but from 9 to 22, it was this just wrestling within me of, like I said, knowing that there was more, not knowing how to access it. Had grown up in a really, you know, rather religious environment, and just stirring, but such a picture of how the pearl is created. It's always created through irritation, you know, and just that irritation led me to a place of going, how am I going to find this? And so there's a couple of things that I want to share with you for me personally that I have found. And the first is prayer. The way that we access the presence of God is through prayer. There's something powerful about prayer, and it's beyond praying to this abstract being. It's all about relationship. He's talking about remain in me, remain in me. And so it started this journey of where I would, I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just coming before the Lord, and I was like, I'm just going to show up. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to call out to you. I don't even know what I'm calling out for, but my heart is before you, and I want to know you. You promise that when I seek you, I will find you, when I seek you with all of my heart. And so just taking the promises of God and putting those before him, constantly bringing those promises. It says, you know, your word says this, so I'm going to bring that before you, and I'm going to ask that you partner with me, that you meet me in that. And this thing started to transform within my heart, that it was no longer I'm praying and pleading and begging. I am intimate. I'm interacting. I am hearing his voice. I'm seeing him move in my life. I'm seeing the power of my declarations. I'm seeing those things transform and come true. And it's a process. It's not an instantly. I think we live in a world and a culture that we want everything now. We want it now. We're so used to, when I do this, I know the outcome. Our journey and our walk with God, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know how it's going to transpire. We don't know, you know, the progression of the process. A lot of times it talks about in the Word, we walk by faith, not by sight. So often I've taken step after step because I was just going to say yes to God. I don't even know what I'm saying yes to. I'm just saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to this, and I get through the progression, and it's like he turns the light on, and I get to look back and see what I just said yes to. That's an interesting thing. That's something that we have to posture our hearts intentionally to do. It's not an easy just, oh yeah, that comes naturally to us. That does not come naturally to us. That comes naturally to us when we walk by the Spirit, because it comes to a place where we have a trust in him and in his nature. And so that's the thing for me that I've learned over time, and I'm constantly learning, is that if in learning his nature, if I know who he is, if there's anything that takes place in my life that shows itself to be counter to who I know that he is, then there's something that needs to be realigned in my heart. I can see something and I go, that does not line up with the true nature of who I know God to be. There doesn't need to be any fear in that. I just need to go, that thing needs to be rightly submitted to God. And it's going to change my perspective of what I'm facing in that moment, what I'm doing, and how I'm going to keep moving forward. It doesn't mean that there's going to be a solution in that moment. I mean, amen for the suddenlies, but so often there's a process, and it can be weeks, it can be months, it can be years, but it doesn't matter. I'm never going to take that thing that's not rightly submitted to God and take that into my heart and cause it to influence my perspective of who God is. I know who God is according to His Word. So I'm not going to allow that to influence and impact my heart. One of the scriptures that I love most that just talks about somebody, you know, going after the things of God and prayer, it's in Luke 18, and it talks about the persistent widow, and I'm just going to read that quickly. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, that so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? And I just think that's such an incredible portrayal of what we're called to and what we're commanded to, but also how we access. It's just be consistent, be constant. We see that in the natural so often, you know, in the way that people exercise their bodies. We want to work out once and have the full fruits of exercise. It's me too, because I don't like to exercise. But the challenge with that is that it's not the quantity, it's the consistency. Because I can do half of a workout, and as long as I do it consistently, I'm going to see way more benefit than doing a hard workout one time a week. And so it's just showing up constantly, coming before the Lord, calling out to Him, being relentless in that pursuit, because He is a just judge. This guy didn't love God or man, had no respect for him, and he was like, deal with that. Deal with that woman. She's constantly coming before me. How much more so with a Father who loves us and wants us to constantly come before Him, that He wants to see us step into the fullness of what He has for us. And I feel like a word that God spoke over me at one point that I just thought was so interesting is that He said, the monumental moments are prepared in the midst of the mundane. Mm. And so it just said to me, you know, there are things that we're going to face in life, good and bad. And I always say this to myself and share this with other people. Regardless, good or bad, this too shall pass. It doesn't matter if I am in a state of agony or I'm in a state of ecstasy. It's coming to an end, because that's the progression of life. It's in seasons. We can be in a wonderful place and be there for a period of time. That's going to come to an end. We can be in a challenging place. It's going to come to an end. But our preparation is prior to getting into one of those states. Can I cultivate within me something that I have to draw from? We were just talking about before you got here, just the significance of God gives us the opportunity to cultivate something with Him so that later in life we're able to pull from what we've cultivated with Him. And I heard somebody say, I listened to the message that Sis gave last week, which was excellent. And I don't know who it was. I couldn't recognize the voice, but somebody said, Sis, have you always carried the Word of God like that in your heart? You know, and it was such a testament to what she has cultivated, what she has inside of her. It just comes out. She doesn't have to think about it. She doesn't have to. She just pulls on what is already within her. So prayer being the first access point of cultivating intimacy with God. The second one that I've really seen just incredible fruit come in my own life is worship. And it's more than just I'm going to sing a song. It's literally an intentional, I am going to turn my heart and posture my heart toward Him. I'm going to turn it toward Him. I'm going to dismiss everything else that's going on in my life, and I'm going to take that time. There is a sacrifice of time in that. There's a sacrifice of time, and again, that's the challenge with all the things that we have going on, the opportunities, the busyness, the relationships, everything that we have and that are good and things that we need to tend to in our lives. But there needs to be a time that we set aside that it's just us focusing on Him and who He is. And so for me, it started out, I was like, I don't really know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to start to praise. It says that He inhabits His praises of His people. And so the promise is that when I turn my heart toward Him, when I praise Him, He's going to show up. And so for me, it started out as a very, you know, short period of time. Not even on a daily basis. I'm just going to be honest. It was kind of when I could fit it into my schedule. And it transformed from that into something that was a revelation of Jesus is not a part of my life. He is my life. And so once you get to that place, do you realize that that is completely the source from which all things flow out of your life, it causes you to hunger for that even more, and then it's not something you have to think about challenging yourself to do. It's something you can't live without. And so it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle to where now I honestly can't, and I mean this when I say this, I cannot go throughout the day without spending time in worship. I can't not do it. It's what's in me. It's what I desire. It's what I long for, is to be close, is to give Him an opportunity to impact me, to change me. And it's been the source that I found. And it's not that I don't go after things in prayer. I do go after things in prayer. But rather than praying about something or bringing things to God, like this is an issue and I'd like for you to deal with this in my life, I just go into a place of worship with an expectation that He is concerned with whatever concerns me. And so when I enter into that place of worship with Him, I don't have to bring any of those things to Him. As a result of opening myself and giving Him permission, He begins to take those things from me. He begins to take that. It is so true that there's peace in the presence of God. There's a peace that comes. There's a presence that comes, and He deals with the things that are within my heart without me even having to pray about those things. So there's a transference that happens. It's I'm coming and saying, I give you full permission to impact me in whatever way that you choose. And as a result, He gives part of His heart, part of Himself. In the same way that we interact in human relationships, we get to know one another by spending time in one another's presence. We recognize one another's voice by spending time in one another's presence. You know, if one of you were to call me, I don't know that immediately, if I didn't have you saved in my phone, that I would know who you were. If she calls me, I know immediately who she is. Why? Because I've spent time with her. I've spent time talking, interacting. I know her voice. The same thing is true in our relationship with God. When we discern who He is, how He is, the nature of who He is, when we posture ourselves to receive from Him, He is giving to us who He is. And so what happens in the worship process, I just was asking God for a picture to illustrate that. And I felt like he showed me just someone getting into a shower. You don't get into a shower with your clothes on. Anybody who gets into the shower with their clothes on, that's weird. That's not the purpose of a shower. You don't do that. You get into the shower bare, and when you come out, you are soaking wet. if you're not soaking wet, you didn't take a shower. And the same is true with worship. You come in bare, but you come out with the evidence that you've been in the presence of the living God, and it changes you. And then you have something on you to be able to deposit to people around you everywhere that you go. I was talking to Lane and Lily last time I was here to visit, and I just said, you know, it's impossible for us to be in the presence of God and not be changed. It's impossible. We can't encounter Him and not be impacted. Therefore, I have an expectation in my own life, because I'm created in the image of God and I have an opportunity to cultivate intimacy with Him, that there should be no individual that can come in contact with me and not be impacted by His presence. If people are encountering me and they're not having an encounter with Him, I need to cultivate more. I need to carry more of Him. And so that's a personal conviction that I carry on my life, that I want to cultivate something so significantly in private that when I'm in public and when I interact with people, I want to have something to give them, not of me, but of Him. I want there to be fruit in my life so that they have something to feed on, that they have something to take with them, that they have something that reminds them that they have the opportunity, just as I have, to access a good and loving God. It changes people's lives. It gives you a renewed sense of why you are here. Why were you created? That's one thing. I'm just going to kind of jump around here as it comes to me, but, you know, talk about simplifying your life. We have one purpose. You know, we can talk about all of these other things, and we all have different gifts, and we all demonstrate those gifts in different ways, and some are gifted in this way and some are gifted in that way, and that's beautiful. That's all we should partner with our giftings and do what we're gifted to do. But we all have the same purpose, and at the end of the day, our purpose is to cultivate an intimate relationship with our Creator and release that on the earth everywhere that we go. And so it simplifies life. It's not about, oh, what am I supposed to be doing? And where am I supposed to be going? And where am I supposed to be living? All of that becomes very small when I realize no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing as far as work, no matter where I'm living, I still have the opportunity to do the one thing. And so everything in my life, I get the opportunity to run it through that lens. If it doesn't come back to that lens, then it doesn't get a lot of time and attention. But that's something that we have to learn, and we have to go through that process of figuring out. And that's why he's talking about, he prunes it. He cuts it back. If it's not something that is bearing fruit in our life, he's going to cut it off. Not because he's being harsh, but because he created us that we would bear fruit. And that can happen in two different ways. People don't understand this spiritual concept, but pruning causes there to be growth. Good or bad. When there's something that's pruned, if it's something that's bad and it hasn't been pulled up by the root, guess what? It's coming back with a vengeance. But if it's something that's good and it's pruned back, it's so that it can grow even more. And so for me, that's been something that I've seen, I feel like, be very fruitful in my life is this whole process of worship, of encountering Him. And I want to share this because I know most of you have kids, and I just think that this is something powerful. Just even the last couple of months, I feel like the Lord's given me a revelation on the significance of worshiping over the people in your life. And I know that that might sound a little bit weird. I think we always think about praying for people, making declarations on their behalf, but there's something powerful about worshiping over the people that God's entrusted to you. And so what that looks like for me is just getting in His presence, and it's almost a combination of worship and in prayer, but inviting His presence not only into my personal experience, but declaring that His presence would invade people's lives. And so that's something that I've seen even just with this group. I feel like I've had just such an incredible gift that Sis has given me to be able to partner with her as she's ministered to this group on a weekly basis. But I've just seen, as I have as I've prayed for each of you, and I was kind of making a joke, but I was being honest, I remember you by where you sit. And so I go around the room and pray for each one based on where you sit. But in the midst of that prayer, just worshiping over your lives. Even though I don't know most of you personally, and I don't know the intimate details of your life, it doesn't matter. I don't have to know that. I get the opportunity to draw the presence of God to whatever you're facing, whatever you're doing, whatever you're going through, you, your kids, your grandkids, future grandkids, whoever. And so I just want to encourage you to really just ask the Lord to show you what that looks like in your life, but just passing that along, that I think it's a powerful thing, just taking time to turn your heart toward God and worshiping over your kids. There's something powerful that happens. I think there's a blessing from one generation to the next that you can pull in and you can pass on to your kids, and we get the gift of doing that. One of the other things that I have really seen God use in my life is the concept of carrying promises. And so what that looks like for me is any time that I'm going through a situation and I don't feel like I'm hearing from the Lord, or I don't feel like I have clarity on a situation, I just start asking the Lord to give me a promise. And that can come in multiple different ways. Again, that can come through spending time in His Word. That can come through worship. It can come through another individual. And I'm going to talk a little bit about words spoken by other people, but just always looking for a promise. Because in a promise, when you know that it's a promise from the Lord, it's an anchor. And it's something that you can go back to. Again, regardless of what I see manifesting before me in the natural, that's irrelevant, because I'm constantly going back to the promise until I see that promise fully manifest in my life. I was sharing with Sis and Lily, there's a promise that God gave me when I was 14 years old. So for the last 18 years, I've been taking that promise back before the Lord. And I have not seen it fully manifest yet, but it doesn't change that the promise remains. And I know, because He promised it, and He who promises is faithful, that I will see the manifestation of that promise in my life. There's nothing that can convince me otherwise. But it's training yourself to go before the Lord, get a promise, and allow that to sustain you in the moments when you're not seeing what you desire to see in that moment. It holds you secure. It holds you safe. Just going back to receiving promises, a lot of times I've had people ask me, like, how do you deal with people speaking crazy things over you? And it's happened to me a lot. I've had people speak some pretty crazy things over my life, but it doesn't bother me, because Jesus, when He sent the Holy Spirit, said, I'm going to send you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. So when a word is from God, you're going to know, because there's something of His Spirit that's attached to it. You can literally feel it. It will hit you, and it will impact you, and it will make a difference. If the Spirit of God is not attached to it when somebody says it, you're kind of like, oh, okay, thank you. And you're gracious, and you thank them, and you appreciate them. You never belittle them. But you just go, you know what? I'm going to take that. I'm going to set that aside. I'm not going to allow that to impact my life. What I'm going to allow to impact my life are the things that I know are of God, that I know are true. So there are people in my life that I give them access to my heart, and I allow them to impact me. I don't have to think about the things that they say. The things that they say, I'm kind of like, okay, why? I've cultivated that relationship with them. They have that permission. If it's somebody that I don't know that comes to speak something over me, it always gets put through the test. You know, was there a spirit of truth attached to that? Even if it's something that I don't like. There have been so many times that people have spoken things over me, and it was the truth, and it was the truth of God. I didn't like it. But it didn't change that it was from the Lord, and that I was supposed to allow that to impact me. And so it's just learning to discern that spirit of truth that's attached, because so often the way that God's going to speak to us is through other people. We're going to learn from other people's experiences. We're going to learn from their lives. We're going to learn from what God has shown them and revealed to them. We don't want to miss out because we demand that God show us in the one way that we feel like we should see it. It doesn't matter. I mean, God spoke through a donkey, you know? And something that I see happen so often that gets dismissed is there's this profound ability for God to speak through kids. Mm-hmm. Children. And so often we pat them on the head and are like, oh, that's so cute. But the reality is there's something of them that's just pure. There's something of them that hasn't been touched by the world. It's not cynical. They're connected to God. They see things in a way that adults have lost over time. And so listen. Listen to what kids say. Listen to what they're sharing with you that they sense, that they see. There's something powerful about it. There's something to be learned in that. So, again, prayer, worship, and carrying promises, I think, are a huge, huge way to access what God has for us, because the reality is there is so much more. It doesn't matter if we've grown up in an environment where we feel like, well, this is what I know, and I feel like, you know, I've gone to church my whole life, so this is just what there is, and don't ever be satisfied with that. There's always more. There's always more. There's more that He wants to show us. There's more that He wants us to see. There's more that He wants to carry, because that is His command, that we would bear much fruit, that we would have the opportunity to take that, and that's how we bring transformation. Yes, and evidence of that is the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Yes, evidence of His nature is miracles. Yes, evidence of who He is just the presence of a holy, pure, good God, all of those things. But at the end of the day, His heart is that we would know Him, that we would know and be known by Him, that we would love and be loved by Him. It's not about what we can do for Him. It's about knowing Him. And I feel like so many of us, because of the world that we live in, it's constantly like, God, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me where to go. What do you want? What do you want from me? And it's like the Lord's like, I want you. That's all I want. I want you. But we get to choose the depth and degree. He said, you can have it all. How much do you want? We get to choose that. We get to choose the depth and degree that we're going to cultivate. We get to choose the time that we're going to set aside. We get to choose the degree that that's going to become a priority in our life. And then out of that place, we are going to carry evidence of being in His presence. There's a friend of mine that she's a worship leader and just has an incredible anointing for worship. But she was singing spontaneously, and it's online. You can look it up. But she was singing spontaneously as she was worshiping. And this is what came out of her mouth, and I thought that it was profound. She said, there's a line, and I've crossed it. Some people say I've lost it, but I found my joy. It's the joy of loving You. From the tip of my toes to the top of my head, they're going to know that I love You. From the tip of my toes to the top of my head, they're going to know I'm Yours. And it was just this profound evidence of her heart in that moment, partnered with the Holy Spirit, that when we choose to submit ourselves to the presence of the living God, there's an expression that comes out of our hearts. There's a passion that comes out of our hearts, and it's contagious. It's literally contagious. People are, they're drawn to it. Why? Because we all have that within us. We all have that deep within us to know and be known by our Creator, to know that it's more than just what we've seen, to know that we truly are empowered to be overcomers, to know that no matter what we face, I have what I need. I am not subject to the constant crisis that surrounds me. I have something that I can access that gives me the ability to stand in the midst of it and declare, my God reigns over anything that I face. And so that's the thing that happens within you as you begin to cultivate this intimate connection with Him. It's a revelation. It's a knowing. It's a just something that's fortified within you that no matter what you face, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if everything that's stable in my life gets upended tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Because I know who He is, I know what He promises, I know what He says, I know what He declares over my life, and I will hold on to that no matter what. No matter what. No matter what, there's nothing that can separate us. There's nothing that can separate us. So, with that, there's a couple of songs that I want to play really quick. It's less than 10 minutes, so this is not going to be long. This is not a two-hour session like it was last time. I wanted to be very respectful of people's time. But there's two songs that I feel like just do such an incredible job of focusing our heart and attention on Him. And so I just, whatever you feel comfortable with, if that is just completely sitting there, being completely silent, that's fine. If you feel like you want to worship, feel freedom. There's complete freedom to do whatever you feel comfortable with. But I'm going to play these two songs, and then I am going to pray, and then we're going to be done. So just feel free to close your eyes, do whatever you want to do.
Finished on that day, death was beaten, all darkness was slain, all His passion poured out like the rain upon the earth. 3 days back, they came to mourn. The stone was rolled away, the veil was torn. For He had risen, He is the King of all the earth. In all the earth. Hallelujah. He has conquered death and he reigns. He reigns.
Jesus, the most beautiful name of all names.
thank you so much for this time, God, just for the privilege to come and just be with this group of women. God, I thank you for what you're doing in and through them. I thank you for the prophetic declaration that it is over this city, God, that you're stirring a hunger for your presence, that you're pouring out your spirit in the city of Columbus. And God, I just thank you for each one represented. I thank you for each family. Thank you for who they are and for what they have cultivated with you and for what they've poured of you into the next generation. God, I pray that you would bless it. God, I thank you that you are the most beautiful name. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made that gave us an opportunity, that gave us a way in, that we could relationship with you. God, I thank you that all you desire is our hearts. When you have our hearts, you can use our hands and our mouths. So God, we just declare before you that you have our hearts. We love you. We want to see you fully exalted in this earth. God, I pray for these women as they go forth in the weeks to come, as they travel. I just declare safety over them. I just declare more of an encounter with you, God. Reveal yourself in a way that they've never known before. I just pray that it will literally bring tears to their eyes when they sense and they feel your closeness, your promises that you will draw near to us when we draw near to you. So God, just give us such a hunger to draw near, to hunger and to thirst after you, God. We thank you, we thank you, and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.